yet another volatile session on Wall Street. It's the Business News Hour for Tuesday, the 18th day of December. Thank you, as always, for hanging out with us again today. We'll get to that story in just a moment. Also today, Toys R Us may be closed in the United States, but it's found new life in another nation. Jeff Bezos in Money will share that story. More job cuts at General Motors. According to a study, Twitter is a very bad place to be if you are a woman. A slowing economy? FedEx says yes. The tiny rural Iowa town of Slater is treating wastewater with algae and saving millions. Also today for the interview, Brad Anderson is with us from AARP Iowa, and we're launching into a conversation about the local option sales and service tax 2019. And then a bit later, Anthony Carroll and I will discuss an initiative that will touch every family in the Hawkeye State, and it already does in neighboring states. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. The business news is next.
What is executive presence? When someone talks about an individual possessing professional or executive presence, they are talking about the perception that person creates through how he or she interacts in formal and informal settings, in all modes of communication. Tero International offers a one-day professional presence workshop where you learn how to develop and consistently communicate your professional brand. Visit Tero.com. That's TERO.com to learn more. This is Michelle from the Tero team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa. And Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour. Thanks for being with us again today. My name is Michael Libby. I'm your host. You want to reach out to us on Twitter, you can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled LIBBIE. Well, the name of the game on Wall Street today was volatile as stocks struggled to stay above the flat line. The S&P 500 just barely finished in the green after turning negative for a bit this afternoon. The Dow and the NASDAQ came off session highs to end the day positive, but it was tough. The why and the what coming up later on in the broadcast. While toy stores, in particular Toys R Us, have had rough sledding in the United States, the chain is thriving in China. More than a year after the New Jersey-based company filed for bankruptcy, forcing the closure of hundreds of stores and laying off 33,000 workers in the United States, Toys R Us Asia is very much alive. Last month, a group of Toys R Us creditors reached a deal with the retailer's Asian partner, Hong Kong-based Fung Retailing, to share control of the stores in China, Japan, and Southeast Asia. Other international brands are also betting that Chinese consumers are willing to go to physical stores with their children or grandchildren. Favorites like Lego Group and FAO Schwartz are among those targeting the Chinese toy and game market, which will be the world's largest by 2022. Toys R Us Asia plans to add as many as 50 new stores next year in China. It's a big vote of confidence in brick-and-mortar retailing at a time when the growing popularity of e-commerce competitors contributed to the parent's failure here in the United States. Toys R Us Asia is hopeful about the Chinese market, where its stores are typically smaller than the ones that were operated here. Instead of big-box stores of about 45,000 square feet, the chain's Chinese locations average 10,000 square feet, and are in shopping malls, which, also unlike their counterparts here in the United States, are thriving. Well, it's no secret that Jeff Bezos of Amazon makes a ton of money. But how much? Well, let's look at it this way. Bezos made more in a minute than the average American household makes in a year and 5 months. He also made more than his lowest paid employees, full-time, part-time, temporary, or seasonal, than they make in 2 years and 11 months. At the start of this year, the Amazon CEO's net worth crossed the 12-digit mark, And as the year comes to a close, he's ending up with roughly $132 billion. Bezos is now 1.5 times richer than the second richest person on Earth. That would be Bill Gates, who he surpassed to claim the number one spot for the first time only 1.5 years ago. Now, to be honest, Bezos' base salary is a modest $82,000, and his total compensation, that involves things like security and benefits, is $1.6 million. But his insane wealth is due to the 16% stake in Amazon, which he owns, which alone is worth about $125 billion today. So if you compare Bezos' wealth, including his assets, to his employees' salaries, he makes more money in 10 seconds than half of Amazon's employees made in 2017. Thought you'd like to know. General Motors said today it plans to cut 50 jobs at a suburban Detroit lithium-ion battery assembly plant after the automaker announced last month it will end production of its plug-in hybrid, the Chevrolet Volt. In filing with the state of Michigan, GM disclosed it will cut 37 hourly jobs and 13 salary jobs in February at its Barnstown battery plant. GM says on its website the plant currently has 116 employees. The job reductions at the Brownstown plant are in addition to the cuts GM announced last month. The Detroit automaker said it would end production at 5 plants in North America, including 4 in the United States, and eliminate up to 15,000 jobs. GM is cutting production of 6 cars, the Volt, LaCrosse, Chevrolet Impala, Chevrolet Cruze, Cadillac CT6, and the Cadillac XTS. GM said last week it will offer jobs at other assembly plants to 2,800 active hourly workers who work at the plants ending production in Michigan, Ohio, and in Maryland. When I saw this story run past my feed early this morning, I knew that we had to share it with you. Amnesty International, yeah, that Amnesty International, has released a study detailing the scale of threats made against women on Twitter, calling the social media platform a toxic place in what it claims is the world's biggest data set of online abuse targeting women. We are not making that up. In partnership with Element AI, that's an artificial intelligence software company, a so-called troll patrol group of 6,500 volunteers from more than 150 countries helped analyze millions of tweets for Amnesty's large-scale survey released today. The tweets surveyed were those received by 778 journalists and politicians hailing from both the United States and the United Kingdom through 2017. And it was looking at the threats faced by specific racial and ethnic backgrounds as well as political affiliations. The study revealed just how much abuse women face with 1.1 million abusive or problematic tweets sent to the 778 women included in the data set over the course of the year. Now, that's like one every 30 seconds on average. Abusive tweets were categorized as those that violated the social media platform's own rules, such as language including physical or sexual threats, while problematic tweets were defined by Amnesty as those containing hostile content, including those reinforcing negative or harmful stereotypes against a group of individuals. And it looks like Twitter may be taking notice. The company said that during the first 6 months of this year, more than 2.8 million unique accounts were reported on complaints of abuse, and action was taken on nearly 250,000 of them. Yeah, but that's a fraction of the larger number, so clearly there's work to be done. One of the reasons we've seen so much volatility in the markets is because economies around the globe seem to be slowing down. And that fact caused FedEx to lower its 2019 forecast, citing weaknesses in Europe. That bit of news sent its shares down 4.6% in aftermarket trading. In a statement, Frederick Smith, the CEO of FedEx, said, quote, "While the U.S. economy remains solid, our international business weakened during the quarter, especially in Europe. We are now taking action to mitigate the impact of this trend through new cost reduction initiatives," end quote. Well, it was another volatile day on Wall Street as the market struggled to stay positive in late afternoon trading. The S&P 500 finished just above the flat line after trimming a more than 1% rally and falling into negative territory for a brief period. The Dow ended 82 points higher after rising more than 300 points earlier in the session. Market participants pointed to growing fears of a government shutdown, a slide in oil prices, and worries that the Federal Reserve is going too far with its rate hiking plans. New comments out of Washington appeared to spark the afternoon selling after Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that a proposed government funding plan was rejected by his Democratic colleagues. The Kentucky Republican proposed an appropriations bill that includes money for border security fencing, as well as what a Senate Democratic aide described as a $1 billion slush fund that Trump could use on his immigration policies. Democrats subsequently rejected the deal. Stock of energy companies fell across the board as oil prices sank more than 7% to a 15-month low today. ExxonMobil fell by 3%, Chevron lost 2.8%, and ConocoPhillips dropped 2.1% as the U.S. and Russia continue to pump at record levels ahead of planned output cuts by OPEC and its allies. The Dow and S&P 500, which are both in correction, are on track for their worst December performance since the Great Depression in 1931, down by more than 7.5% so far for the month. The S&P 500 is now in the red for 2018 by 5%. At the bell, the Dow gained 82 points to close at 23,675. The NASDAQ was up by 30 points to 67,83, and the S&P 500 was up fractionally to finish the day at 25,46. And tomorrow? Well, tomorrow the Fed concludes its two-day meeting. Bets are that the short-term interest rate will go up. Gold gained $1.60 today to trade at $1,249 an ounce. Oil had a lousy day, off by $3.86 a barrel to finish the day at $46.34. And the 10-year T-note was off a bit, paying 2.81%. And then there's this. The rural Iowa community of Slater, population 1,500, will see their city wastewater treated by a process that uses algae to remove ammonia as well as other nutrients. The Slater City Council selected Ames, Iowa-based Gross Wind Technologies to install its cutting-edge technology at the community's wastewater treatment facility. The council approved an upgrade estimated to cost $4 million, which, when completed, will allow the city to meet state clean water permit standards. Slater is the first community in Iowa to select the system, which was developed at Iowa State University. The treatment system has proven to be effective at removing nitrogen, phosphorus, and other pollutants from municipal wastewater. Slater Mayor John Kaler said that the council opted for the RAB system for several reasons. Quote, "It was a greener alternative to treating phosphates, nitrates, and ammonia with the possibility of generating an income off of the algae harvest. In addition, the system is less expensive to install, maintain, and operate." Kaler also points to the fact that the Gross Wind system is a bargain when compared to the $6 million alternative the city was considering. The system should be operational by 2020. How about that? Cleaning wastewater with algae. When we come back, a conversation with Brad Anderson, the state director of AARP Iowa, about the local option sales and service tax that will be coming up for a vote in March. Now, I know we're way ahead of the game, but it's important for you to hear. Brad Anderson next here on the Business News Hour.